Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to a wide range of wellness professionals ready to inform and inspire. Today's topic is romantic relationships, what women and men deeply yearn for. My guest is Brian Reeves, relationship coach and author of the best-selling book, Choose Her Every Day or Leave Her, based in Los Angeles. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, Mariëtte. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Could you tell us a little about the work you do?
Yeah, so for about the last 10 years, I have been working largely in the relationship coaching domain. I started working with couples back in 2014. And most recently, in the last probably 3 to 4 years, I've really been focusing on working with men, and particularly around their relationship challenges. Men who are really either struggling in a relationship that is important to them and want to turn that around and succeed, or just men that are like I was, 15 years ago, men that are just ready to stop sucking at love and intimacy and relationships and just want to improve that part of their lives. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you, in 2010, at age 36, you had an epiphany. What was happening in your life before that, and what did this epiphany entail?
Yeah. So in 2010, yes, I was 36, and I was, I suppose I would say, I was at the point, I was on my knees. Let's just say it like that. Life had brought me to my knees, and really relationship had brought me to my knees, relationships with women. I had just spent the last probably, 10, 15 years just making one mess after another of intimate relationships with women. And I'm very educated. I grew up in a home with 3 sisters, even 2 mothers. I mean, they weren't married to each other. They were married to my father and my stepfather. But I just grew up around a lot of female energy. So I thought, if anybody should be uniquely prepared to do relationships with women, it would be me. I even got a master's degree in human relations, Mariëtte, in my 20s. And I was in the military, I had everything going for me. And yet my relationships with women were just disasters over and over and over again. And so, 36 years old, at the end of yet another catastrophe, that in this case, that one endured 5 years of just chaos and pain and suffering and beauty too, and connection and deep laughter. I mean, all the things. It was a roller coaster ride. And, but I just resolved, I said, okay, there's something I'm not getting here, right? I'm 36. I keep seeing the same outcomes over and over and over. There's that saying, what's the common denominator in all those relationships? Well, it's me. I'm the common denominator. So obviously I'm not understanding something vital about relationships. And it was that moment that really began to turn things around for me. I mean, that was the moment of a new journey where I realized, creating good relationship was no longer about just finding the right woman or getting her to love me differently or speak to me differently or whatever it is. It was now time to really lean into, okay, where am I ignorant here? What am I not understanding? What am I getting wrong about relationships? And that was almost 15 years ago. Changed everything.
Yeah, and since then, you've been on a transformational journey.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, after that moment, I really threw myself into studying intimate relationships, specifically intimate relationships. I mean, everything from what does connection even mean? You know, there's this, one of my favorite stories is a friend, a very dear friend of mine came to me one day. He was having marital problems. He'd been married for about 12 years at the time. And he said, you know, I'm sitting on my couch talking to my wife about our marriage, and it's not going well, but at least, you know, we're there, we're talking about it. And about 45 minutes, maybe an hour in, she just looks at me and says, you know what? I just don't feel connected to you. And Marietti tells me, I look around, I'm noticed again, we're on the same couch in the house that we live in together. We are talking about our marriage. Mm. And she says she doesn't feel connected to me. What the hell is she even talking about? Right. Well, you know, my journey was getting into the heart of, well, what the heck is she talking about? What does that mean? What is connection really? And how can people create it? Right. I mean, these are the kinds of questions that I dove into for many, many years, exploring everything about relationship from sexual intimacy and polarity practices to new communication skills to learning how to navigate conflicts and the very real differences that every couple sees between them, as well as what does it mean for a man to be present, right? What my friend was describing was he was physically present, but what his wife was experiencing was not his emotional presence. And that, things like that.
Yeah, and these insights you wrote into your book, Choose Her Every Day Yes. or Leave Her, which I must Yes. say was, I found quite a read. It
Thank
really
you.
shifts one's concepts and one's mind.
Mm. Mm.
So for whom did you write this book, Brian?
Well, as I was writing it for women and for men. I mean, well, you might even say I was writing it for me, because a lot of this book also traces the arc of my journey from my ignorance. I mean, the very first chapter, the title is "No One Ever Taught Me How to Be a Man." And I think that's really important for men especially to start with that acknowledgement, and for women to be aware of. Not you know, that girlfriend that I was with for 5 years in my early 30s, she kept saying this thing, which was not helpful, not skillful, not kind, but in the end, she was still right. And what she said was, "You're not a boy, you're a man." The opposite. She kept telling me, "You're not a man, you're a boy. You're not a man, you're a boy." Now, mm-hmm. That was not kind. It was, as I said, it was not kind. It was pretty cruel. It wasn't helpful. It wasn't skillful. But she was right. She was also pointing to something that I think a lot of women see in men. It's that we aren't truly psychologically mature in many ways. Many of us men have not psychologically grown into true adulthood in many ways. And I think for a lot of men, we don't really start hitting the limits of our adolescence until our 40s. In many cases. And some men don't ever hit the limits of their adolescent psychology. They may, you know, maybe in their 50s or 60s or just never. And so, you know, this book, I think it's important for both men and women to be able to see and name these patterns, but to do so in more skillful, thoughtful ways. You know, as I said, that women over the years, they have seen, as happens in relationships, right? We see the truths about each other. You know, we see into each other in intimacy and close partnership, but very few of us have the skillfulness. We don't have the tools to communicate what we see in skillful, helpful ways. Instead, we tend to either beat each other up with the truths that we see in ways that are just hurtful and harmful and not helpful. Or we shut down, we swallow what we see. We don't talk about what we see because we don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, or we don't want to lose the relationship. And so, you know, this book is really my most articulate and skillful way of talking about these patterns, the things that we see in our intimate partners, in ourselves. And it gives us language. I believe, I hope that it gives us language that we can start to talk about these things that we need to be talking about between men and women, so that we can actually come into connection instead of staying in the adversarial stance that so many of us tend to stay in relationships. So again, this is for men and for women.
Yes, it does point one to the language, certainly. And then the topic I chose to talk to you about is what women and men deeply yearn for, because that for me was such an eye-opener. And if we could start by taking a closer look at what women really need, how would you describe women in essence?
Well, that's a complicated question, right? I don't think I would attempt to describe women. I love Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell said, the comedian actor Will Ferrell said something funny. He said, trying to understand women is like trying to smell the number nine. And I thought that was a very astute observation. But I will say this. What I have learned over many years of working with couples and being in relationship, I'm now married with my wife now almost 10 years. And one of the primal dances that I see in relationships is this primal dance between freedom and connection. The deep values of freedom and connection. Now, I didn't come up with this. This isn't my original idea. But it's something that no one ever pointed out to me before. It's one of those things that I was ignorant around, that I really wish someone had taught me at a much younger age, that these primal dance of freedom and connection was at play in relationships, and that predominantly women tend to be more loyal to, more of a stand for connection, the value of connection in relationships. Now, I say predominantly tend to be, because men also, I mean, I am a stand for connection. I'm a stand for, that's a deep value of mine as well, but it's not, it tends to not be my predominant value. Mine tends to be more freedom. And this was a fundamental clash that was going on in my relationships for years that I was completely ignorant to. And so often I was fighting for freedom in all these ways, whereas my partners tended to be fighting more for connection. And we were completely missing each other. We weren't even often having the same arguments or the same conversations. We were arguing for different things, and each in our own stance. And the crazy thing about that dance is, the more unskillful, let's say I am, we'll start on my side. Let's say the more unskillful I am at arguing, at being a stand for freedom, the more threatening I become to my partner's value of connection, because I'm pulling away into this land, into this sort of freedom mindset, this freedom stance, while she's wanting to connect, create connection. And naturally that's going to be perceived as a rejection, and vice versa. By the way, the more unskillful my partners would argue for connection, and it was pretty much always unskillful in my experience. I mean, their lack of skill matched my lack of skill, right? It's not like they were making the mistakes and I wasn't. Oh no, we were, you know, co-conspirators all the way through. But the more unskillful they were in trying to like demand connection or bring me into connection, the more that felt threatening to my freedom value. And so the more I would then get angry and resist and so it was just a nasty, nasty dance, only because we were ignorant of it. So, I'll leave it at that for now. There's so much more we could say about all this, but I want to see where you'd like to go.
Yes, I think that was one of the aha moments for me. I know you don't generalize in the book. You tackle it very subtly, but let me just see. You were talking about the masculine chant of freedom and the feminine song of connection, right?
Yeah, yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Now, another thing that was very interesting to me is one of your chapters titled, "What a Woman Really Wants Isn't a Man's Money." And in this chapter, you wrote, "Women don't need men like they used to." Why is that?
Well, first off, I think that's a good thing, personally. I think it's a good thing that women are becoming, and I know it's still a long road, but that women are becoming more empowered, less dependent on men, at least again in a individual relationship sense. I think that's a very, very healthy thing. That's women becoming their own independent adults. Now that said, I think it's also very confusing for a lot of men that this is happening. It's confusing. We have struggled in the last decades, so many decades. We're struggling to understand, well, if she doesn't need me, if women don't need me, then what am I for? What am I needed even for? And this has been a big question that I think a lot of men have really wrestled with, because what a lot of men do in relationships is we try to give the thing that we thought we were supposed to give that she kind of doesn't really need us for anymore. Or even if she does, I mean, even if we are in a marriage where let's say, the man is paying all of the bills and the resources and all of that, but that's not necessarily what her heart is craving. Men, we don't get that. We don't understand that. We think that what we can provide is the very thing we should be needed for. And when that doesn't work, I mean, I work with men. I've worked with so many men who've provided, done all the providing, and their wives are still not happy. And I don't chalk that up to the ungrateful wife, not at all. I chalk that up to shifting social norms about what is the purpose of adult intimate relationship. And it is no longer, it used to be to provide economic stability, to bring children in to manage, to help, plow the fields and plant seeds. It used to be to ensure we could pass down property to our heirs, things like this. I mean, those aren't really the primary reasons people come into intimate relationship anymore. Primarily, it's for companionship. It's for emotional intimacy. But that's the very thing that, again, men don't generally know how to offer. And so, it's interesting that there's a telling statistic in America anyway, that 70% of divorces are initiated by women. 70% of divorces are initiated by women. And many of those divorces are surprises to the men on the receiving end of those conversations. Men don't see it coming. Again, because we don't understand what it is that is really required of us in relationships today. Does that answer your question? I mean, again, there's just all, you're asking great questions, and there's so many ways we could go and such depth to them.
Yes, I am going to ask another question in that regard, and that is I'm going to refer to the chapter you wrote on what are the sexiest three words a man can say to a woman, because I think that really points to what women yearn for.
Well, when I wrote that after a conversation I had with a friend of mine who had just started dating a new guy. And here she is, a strong, independent businesswoman, And she just started dating this guy, and she was telling me how one morning, every morning she would have to get up and walk her dog, like 6 a.m. Dog was an early riser. I have a dog. My dog doesn't wake up till I wake up, which is fantastic. But her dog was an early riser. And so the first night her new partner slept over at her place, dog woke up 6 a.m. as normal, and she just got up out of habit. And her new guy said, "Don't worry about it. I got this." And he let her go back to sleep, and he took the dog out for a walk. And the way that she shared that story with me, the relief that she conveyed just through her body language, the joy, the way I saw her come alive, just in the telling of the story of this new guy saying, "I got this," was incredibly revealing to me. And it that led to that chapter, the sexiest three words a man can say to a woman are, "I got this." And of course, as so much of my writing and so much of my own revelations, they're born of first of my ignorance. And as I look back and realize, oh my God, I never said those words to my past partners. I mean, and I don't just mean big things like I got this, like I got all the bills and all the rent and all of the burden of our relationship. No. That's not at all what that means. I mean, it could mean that, but that's not, it's more an essence of being able to wake up every day and knowing that I am here to be in some service to the woman I've chosen. And she to me as well, by the way, but it's not necessarily the same service that we're giving each other. And again, it's not just about paying the bills or paying for dinner or it could be about that. But I'm always really careful to not be prescriptive, to tell people how you should do relationship. These are the rules, and here's how you do it. I don't like that kind of approach to relationships. I think it's very minimizing of the complexity of life and of people. But I think that was very telling to me as a man. Again, it gave me insight into why my girlfriends of yesterday were always so upset. They were always so frustrated with me, and I could never figure it out, Mariette. I didn't understand, and that was just one of the reasons. I never spoke the language to them that would have helped their nervous systems relax and their smiles to come alive, like the way that I saw my friends that morning when we had coffee.
And now I'm sure the listeners may be wondering what the three sexiest words a woman can say to a man would be.
Yeah, that's always a little bit trickier one for people, and I had to really sit with that and puzzle that out for a while, right? And what I realized as I really sat with that and reflected on it, because I actually hadn't thought about that before I wrote the chapter on the sexiest three words a man can say. But of course, people asked me, "Well, what is it for a woman?" So I had to really reflect on that, and what I realized is that there's something that happens when a man hears these words. It's not "I love you." Those are fine. Those aren't sexy words. I mean, those are comforting words. Sure. It's good to know you love me. Okay, great, fine. But they don't inspire anything in me. I think about, the sexiest words are just like as a man saying, "I got this," to my female partner. I can see she starts to radiate, right? Her feminine essence like bursts outward. She comes alive. She can relax. Like she comes into the best part of herself, the deepest, most enjoyable, let's say, part of herself. Well, what are the words that helps a man do the same? Like for a man's backbone to tighten, to strengthen, to his shoulders to lift, like his chest to puff out. Those are the, what are those words? And what I realized is when a woman says, "I trust you," to a man, those words are infuse him with a sort of heroic like validation. Wow, she trusts me. Now, I want to be really careful. that trust should be warranted. There's a lot of men that are not trustable, and I think all men are not trustable in some ways. Nobody's trustable in absolutely every single, like, I don't trust me to invest your money, Mariette. Don't give me your money and expect me to invest it in the stock market. I will lose it. I'm not trustable in that way, right? But to trust that, like, if some disagreement arises between us, I am trustable in that I will not disrespect you. I will stay in partnership with you. We will find our way to a solution that feels good to both of us. I am trustable in that way, for example, right? So, like, when my wife, and by the way, you know what, so many men, in the same way that I was not telling my female partners I got this in all kinds of ways. In fact, usually I was saying, you get this, you know, you're a grown woman, you figure your shit out. That's kind of the attitude I took, because, you know, again, I grew up with really strong women. They were the ones that held the world together. They didn't, if anything, my fathers were burdens on them. They weren't assistance. They weren't real help. They were burdens on my moms. So if anything, I, you know, saw myself in that as like, I should just stay out of the way. They don't need my help. If anything, I'm just going to screw things up for them. So let me just, you know, do my thing. You do your thing. You got this. I got me, you got you. And we should be happy. And of course they weren't happy. Well, on the same token, what women are so often telling men, and they have good reason for it, but it's not helpful. They're so often telling men, I don't trust you. And they maybe not be using those words. It may sound like, you know, you don't really care about me. That's a way of saying, I don't trust you. Or repeating directions over and over and over. That's a way of saying, I don't trust you. These kinds of things, men get this message a lot in relationships, that I'm not being trusted by her, and it's incredibly painful. And so, again, I would never suggest to a woman to say, I trust you, if she doesn't trust the man in certain ways. But I do want women to be aware of, if you're telling him over and over in all kinds of ways that I don't trust you, that will have an impact on him, right? It will cause some internal collapse inside of him. So what I would encourage is, find something trustable about him and speak to that. You know, if he comes home reliably every day, even if he's not the most emotionally present, say, you know, I'm really grateful. I'm really glad that you come home every day to me. Thank you. Mm. I can count on that. Right? That's saying, oh, I'm trustable. Oof. You know, for a lot of men, we don't feel seen for our doing, especially in relationships, because it's what's so often highlighted is where we're not succeeding, which is usually in the emotional realms, right? We're emotionally absent. We're not emotionally attuned. And that may all be true. But what I'm pointing at is just that needs to be worked at, certainly. But I think alongside that needs to also be praise, needs to be also recognition of what we are doing that is serving our partners. And I think that's where, you know, I trust you can be a really helpful tool to bridge these sometimes difficult gaps.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.mariettesneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. Now, back to my guest. Final question, Brian. You've learned what it means to offer mature masculine presence to a woman. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. You know, masculinity is a, many people will reduce it to a static set of expressions, you know, calm, still, stoic, even. Open space, like there's this, there's a lot of ideas about masculinity, and again, I don't like to be prescriptive. I think every man needs to explore for himself what being masculine to him means, and how to apply it skillfully, effectively, in ways that serve the world around him. But my practice of masculine presence is being steadfast, by which I mean, you know, even saying I got this, I can say that without using any words, right? When my partner is talking to me, right? When we're connecting, whether she's upset or whether she's excited, masculine presence in that moment for me often looks like breathing deeply, fully, facing her, looking at her, being curious with my questions, rather than rushing to solve whatever problem I think she's wanting solved, which is almost never the case. It's being steadfast. It's showing her through my body, through my repeated actions, that I'm here and I'm not going anywhere, not physically, but also not emotionally or mentally. And all of us lose presence sometime. When I'm able to be present, you know, 15 minutes later, I'm gonna check out mm-hmm. for a minute or maybe a day. You know, it's not about living in that stance. Nobody can do that. We all gotta watch Netflix sometimes to just check out our brains. But you know, mature masculine presence just means that. It means, it's almost like communicating, I got this, meaning I'm here. I got this. You don't have to worry about connecting with me because I got this. I'm here. I'm with you. I love you. And you don't have to ever doubt that. You can trust me. Right. And not saying it, not trying to convince her with my words that that's the case, but showing her through my abiding and enduring presence that that is the case.
Yeah, choosing her every day.
That's right. That's right. Choosing her every day. And if I'm not going to do that, then I shouldn't be in that relationship.
Yes. Thank you, Brian, for sharing these insights. And
thank you so much, Mariette.
Yeah, and the deep wisdom you've acquired. And I'd just like to mention that I'll attach links to your book and to your websites to the podcast.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for this conversation, Mariette. I really appreciate it.
It was very insightful. And to our listeners, if you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes. And for free articles and podcast episodes on how to live a happier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, just search for Mariette Sneeman, journalist. Calm, Clear and Helpful is compiled, hosted and edited by me, with original music by Marthe-Marie Snyman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.